translation. Thereafter, at the conjunction of two yugas, the Lord of the creation will take his birth as the Kalki incarnation and become the son of Vishnu, Yashaha. At this time, the rulers of the earth will have degenerated into plunderers. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Here is another foretelling of the advent of Lord Kalki, the incarnation of Godhead. He is to appear at the conjunction of the two yugas, namely at the end of Kali Yuga and the beginning of Satya Yuga. The cycle of the four yugas, namely Satya, Tretra, Dwapa and Kali, rotates like the calendar months. The present Kali Yuga lasts for 432,000 years, out of which we have passed only 5,000 years after the battle of Kurukshetra and the end of the reign of King Parikshit. So there are 427,000 years balance yet to be finished. Therefore, at the end of this period, the incarnation of Kalki will take place as foretold in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The name of his father, Vishnu Yasha, a learned Brahmana, and the village Shambhala are also mentioned. As above mentioned, all these foretellings will prove to be factual in chronological order. That is the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Jnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Maheyam Nadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padhan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhasya Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Namo Om Vishnu Padhaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thereafter, at the conjunction of two yugas, the Lord of the creation will take his birth as a Kalki incarnation and become the son of Vishnu, Yasha. At this time, the rulers of the earth will have degenerated into plunderers. Hare Krishna, everyone. So I'm very happy to be here with you all today on this very auspicious day of Shivas Thakur's appearance day. And recently I was hearing a lecture by His Grace Gaurang Prabhu. And he was mentioning how important it is to have the blessings of the Vaishnavas. And he was saying that we can't even take one step towards Krishna without the blessings of the Vaishnavas. And even if we look at our own lives, wherever we are today, it's due to the blessings of the Vaishnavas. So these blessings are so important. Whatever we do, whatever action we perform, we should always ask for the blessings of the Vaishnavas. And we may feel, when people ask us for blessings, that we're not qualified to give blessings. Because most Vaishnavas are humble, and they don't think themselves to be pure or to be able to give blessings. But what we can do is we can sincerely pray to Krishna, that Krishna, please bless this person. And when we do this, then the whole community becomes strong. Because everyone is motivated to help each other. And when we live in such a community, Krishna sees how selfless the devotees are. And in this way, he manifests into the community. So in that spirit, I seek all of your blessings for today's class, that I may speak something which is inspirational and also relevant. So this verse is speaking about the final incarnation of the Lord, the Kalki avatar. And this age is described as Kali Yuga, the age of darkness, which some may say is a little bit contradictory. Some of you may know that I fly planes, I'm a pilot, and I don't fly the big ones, I just fly a small little plane. And when I was doing my night training, you are taught that initially when you take off, you just look at the instruments, you don't look outside. You just look at the instruments and you see these little instruments which are lit by very small lights. And until you get to about 1,000 feet, and then you look outside. And when I first had this experience, at 1,000 feet I looked outside, and my eyes were dazzled. It was so bright. The city lights were shining, lights on the building, lights from cars, street lights. And I was thinking that if anyone saw this, they would say that this is not the age of Kali Yuga, this is the age of enlightenment, illumination. Because it's so bright. But when we say the age of darkness, we don't mean the advancements in technology, how we can so easily communicate with each other. Even someone on the other side of the world, we can see them, we can speak to them instantly. In Vedic times, they had to send letters, which would take many weeks sometimes. So, some may say that, well, actually, this Kali Yuga is very advanced, and it's not the age of darkness. But Sukadev Goswami, he mentions why it is the age called the age of darkness. In the 12th canto, in the 2nd chapter, he speaks this verse. He speaks about the symptoms of Kali Yuga. And the first thing he says is, Vitam eva kaluninam janma che gunodhaya dharmanaya vyastayam kannaham balam evahi. That vitam means wealth. Wealth will be considered the man's greatest quality. Good character, holiness, anything that is considered to be good, if one possesses wealth, then that man is considered to be the greatest. And he mentions that justice will only be applied according to one's power. And we see in this day and age how so many people are endeavoring for wealth and power. They're willing to sacrifice their time, their health, their relationships with family members, with friends, just for these things. Why? Because, as Sukadev Goswami has stated, that these two things will make one very powerful, one be respected in the society. And people are under the misconception that when they have wealth, power, then they can enjoy their senses as much as possible and be happy in this world. But even though they give these false promises, even though we think that wealth and power and all these things will bring us some happiness, the reality is they don't. And in fact, they give us more problems. So while reading through the Srimad Bhagavatam, I notice four problems. There are many problems, but today I speak about four of those problems that these things give us. That wealth, power, they give us these four problems. And the first problem is that it fills one with pride. When one possesses these things, he becomes proud. When we hear the Damodar Leela, how Krishna was tied up by Mother Yashoda. And Krishna saw these two trees standing in the courtyard. And Krishna knows everything. So he began to walk towards these trees. And the grinding mortar that he was tied to was lagging behind him. And it got stuck in between these trees. So Krishna just tugged. Krishna's so strong that these trees fell down. And out of these trees, two personalities came out. And Sukadev Goswami explains who these two personalities are. Puranada shapena vrikshatam pripato madhat nalakuvera manigriva itikayat shrinavatu. Pura, previously, Narada shapena, Narad Muni gave these two people a curse. Now, why would a devotee give anyone a curse? But we come to know later on that actually this curse was the greatest blessing. What was the curse? Vrikshatam. That they become trees. Why would he give such a curse? So we have to understand what happened. And Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, they were the sons of Kuvera. Kuvera was the treasurer of the heavens, the heavenly planets. So you could imagine how rich he was, how wealthy he was. Practically the most wealthiest person in the whole universe. And he had two sons, Manigriva and Nala Kuvera. Now they had become puffed up because of this wealth. And they were enjoying in this wonderful lake with these ladies. And they weren't wearing any clothes. At that point, Narad Muni came. And the ladies, they quickly covered up and paid their respects to Narad. But these two personalities, they didn't pay any respect. They had become puffed up due to their wealth. And they did not care for anyone. They did not care for the sage that was coming. They thought they were more powerful. So Narad Muni cursed them. That you like to stand here naked. You can stand naked as trees in the material world, in the earthly planet. However, I give you this blessing that you become trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, where Krishna will perform his pastimes, and ultimately Krishna will deliver you. So we can see how this pride affects. We hear it again and again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this verse, Trinada pi suniceva, taroriva sahishuna, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. That one should be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, offer all respects to others and expect none in return. And we hear this again and again and again. And why is it so important that we are humble? It's because we see the Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us again and again and again that when people become proud, not just of their wealth, but of their knowledge, of their birth, of them becoming a devotee, they ultimately fall down. Because when one is proud, he demands respect. When one is proud, he cannot learn from others because he thinks he knows everything. Yeah, we all meet those kind of people that think they know everything. No matter what topic we speak about, they have the truth, the higher truth. And when we come across a person like that, what do we normally do? We just stop talking. We just let them be. So humility is the key quality in devotional life. Only when one is humble, he can actually even come to the process, because he realizes that actually I don't know anything. I need to learn. So when one is humble, he can gain true knowledge. This verse explains madat. This word means that they became mad. They became mad because of their pride. So ultimately, this is what happens when we become proud. We become mad. The second problem it causes is, even though we want it to make us happy, even though we want wealth, power to make us happy, to please the senses, it actually brings us distress. Yehi samspasya jabhoga dukkhayoena evate adhya antavantu kondeya nate shuramante buddha. Yehi samspasya jabhoga dukkhayoena. Dukkha means it's actually a cause of displeasure. Why? Because they have a beginning and an end. They are not eternal. We may possess something in this life, but when we leave our body, we have to leave it behind. What is eternal is our spiritual life. Whatever devotional practice we perform, that is carried on to life after life after life. And it's never lost. Krishna explains that in Bhagavad Gita. So we can see through the pastimes of Krishna how this wealth, how this power, it causes distress. There was one personality, and he was a devotee of the sun god. His name was Satrajit. And he had performed many austerities, done a lot of devotion. So the sun god was so pleased with him. So he wanted to give him a gift. So he gave him the Samataka jewel. So one day, Satrajit, he walked into Dwarka wearing this jewel. And when the residents of Dwarka saw him, he was shining so bright that they were blinded. They couldn't directly look at him. So they ran to Krishna. And Krishna was there, he was just playing dice. And they said, "Krishna, Krishna, we know so many personalities come to see you. But today the sun god himself has come." And Krishna smiled and he said, "That isn't the sun god. That's Satrajit." So Satrajit, he went to his home in Dwarka, And he got this gem, this jewel, installed by the Brahmanas. And it said that this jewel every day used to produce so much gold. So one day Krishna went to his home. And he said to Satyajit that please give this jewel to the king, King Ugrasena. But Satyajit, he was so much attached that he said he refused. He refused to give it to Krishna. So Krishna didn't say anything and he went back to his palace. One day, Satyajit's brother decided to take the jewel out. So he wore it round his neck. And he went on his horse into the jungle. There a lion saw the jewel and desired to have it. So he killed Satyajit's brother. And he took this jewel into a cave. And within this cave, Jambavan was living. Jambavan was a very powerful personality. He also featured in the Ramayana. So when he saw this lion with a jewel, he killed the lion. And he gave this jewel to his son as a toy to play with. And when I was reading this, I was thinking that when we don't have knowledge of how powerful something is, we don't tend to appreciate it. We take it for granted. And that is why Srila Prabhupada encouraged us so much to read his books. Because when we have knowledge, when we understand how fortunate we are, how fortunate we are to be in this process, then we can appreciate it. But because he didn't know, he just gave it to his son. He just gave this jewel to his son and was playing as a toy. When Satyajit's brother didn't return for a few days, Satyajit became very distressed, thinking, what's happened to my brother? Why hasn't he come back yet? And then he began to think, Krishna must have killed him. Because I refused to give this jewel, Krishna has forcibly taken it away from my brother. And he started telling everyone this. And this rumor, it spread. It spread around the city. And it came back to Krishna. And Krishna felt, I have to clear my name. So he went into the jungle looking for this Satyajit's brother. And he found him. He was dead. So was his horse. And he walked further into the cave. And he told the few people that he took with him that you wait outside the cave. I will go inside and check. When he went inside the cave, he saw that this little child was playing with this jewel. So as he tried to take it from the child's nurse began to cry out for Jambavan. Jambavan came, extremely angry. Someone is trying to steal something from my son? And a big fight happened. For 28 days, they fought without any breaks. And the people outside the cave were getting worried that Krishna has been in this cave for such a long time. What has happened? But he told us not to go in, so we should follow his instructions. Rukmini, all the other princesses, they were all extremely worried. What has happened to Krishna? They were praying for his safety. And after fighting for 28 days, Jambavan realized that there can be no one as strong as this, apart from the personality of Godhead himself. So he realized that this must be Krishna himself. This must be Vishnu. This must be Lord Ram. So he gave the jewel to Krishna. He paid his obeisances and he offered some wonderful prayers. So Krishna returned with the jewel to Dwarka. And he called Satyajit to his palace. And he presented this jewel back to him. At that time, Satyajit became very remorseful, thinking that I accused Krishna. Krishna is so kind that even after me accusing him, he's happy to give me back this jewel. And he was so distressed, he didn't know what to do. He's like, how can I repay Krishna? How can I repay my debt? So he gave his daughter in marriage, Satyabhama. And Satyabhama was meant to marry someone else. And when this person found out that she was given to Krishna, he became so angry that he went and killed Satyajit in his sleep. So we can see how this one jewel caused so much distress to so many people, even though it's meant to be a cause of happiness. The third thing that wealth and power does is it makes one fearful. And this is all due to attachment. Wealth, power, all these things, they're not bad things. But when one becomes attached to them, that's when the difficulty comes. Srila Prabhupada, he was saying in one conversation that Krishna has 10 hands. Krishna has 10 hands. When he takes with these 10 hands, how can you stop him with your 2 hands? So previously, when I was a grahastha, he took away my business, took away my family. When I came to America, he took away my Bhagavatam, my typewriter. With 10 hands, how could I have stopped him with my 2 hands? And now, he's giving with his 10 hands. So what can my 2 hands actually hold? Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shri Shri Gonitai ki jai. So now we are getting lakhs and lakhs of money, of Lakshmi. And how can we hold it in our 2 hands? So it's like this. We have this fear of losing things when we're attached. But if we realize that everything is happening according to Krishna's will, then it doesn't matter. Then we are not fearful. We see throughout the course of history, in the Ramayana, in the Mahabharata, how so many people conspire to get these things. Mother Kekei, how she conspired so that she could, her son could take the power and Lord Ram could be banished. How Shakuni, Duryodhan, how they conspired to try and kill the Pandavas. So the third aspect is that it makes one fearful. Because wherever there is wealth, wherever there is power, there's always some conspiracy for someone to try and take it from you. The fourth problem is it causes one to lose their intelligence. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita how one loses his intelligence. Just one way. Dhyayato vishvayam pumsa sangaste supajayate sangat sanjaya kamat kamat krodo bijayate krodo bhavati sammoha sammoha smriti viprabha smriti bhramshat budhinasham pranashyati. He says initially we contemplate on the object of the senses and then we form an attachment to them. When we form an attachment to them, lust develops. When lust develops and when we are frustrated by not being happy by these objects of the senses or not receiving the object of the senses, then anger develops. From anger, not illusion, but samo mohat, complete delusion arises. And from delusion, loss of memory. loss of memory, loss of intelligence. So we see in one of Krishna's pastimes, Krishna was a young boy, 7 years old. And every year they used to worship Indradev, because they felt like Indra was providing the rains. And they were so much dependent on the rains. But one day Krishna, he went to Nanda Maharaj and he said, this year we should worship Govardhan, the hill. And Nanda Maharaj explains, no, but every year we worship Indra, he provides for us. And Krishna knew that Indra had become puffed up with pride. So he said to him, that is actually only karma, fruitive activities. Whatever actions we perform, the reactions we get. Indra has no say on this. It's simply due to our activities, the rain will come. So we should worship Govardhan. And Krishna was very good at convincing people. So he managed to convince the whole of Raj. And they prepared all these wonderful offerings and they offered it to Govardhan Hill. So when Indra, he saw this, he became so angry. They are not worshipping me? How do they not? How can they do this? Do they not know my power? And he speaks some verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, some very heavy verses in criticizing Krishna and the devotees of Raj, the residents of Raj Bhumi. He says to the clouds that he's sending to try and destroy, the prosperity of these people has made them mad with pride. And their arrogance is backed up by Krishna. Now go and remove their pride and bring their animals to destruction. So Indra had lost his intelligence. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he knows this. But because his pride has been hurt, because he has felt like he's losing that power, he's now attacking Krishna. And what is he seeing? He's seeing pride and arrogance in the residents of Vrindavan. And it's said that whatever faults we have within us, sometimes we see those in other people. So Indra was doing this. These faults were within himself. He was proud, he was arrogant. But he was seeing it in the residents of Raj. He was seeing Krishna as an arrogant boy. So he tried to destroy them. But we all know the pastime that Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and he protected them. So real wealth is bhakti. As explaining before, that these things, material wealth has a beginning and an end, but spiritual wealth has no beginning and no end. It continues. It keeps on growing. And wealth means one's character, one's qualities, and one's devotion. That is real wealth. So Sukadev Goswami is giving us this example of how Kali Yuga is the age of darkness. And he goes on in the next few verses to speak. He'll say beauty is judged simply on one's hairstyle. We see now how many different products, how much people spend on their hair. So all these predictions, like Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, all these predictions are coming true. He says, Sukadev Goswami says, one who can juggle words will be known to or will be called as a very intelligent person. He says in Kali Yuga, the maximum duration of life will be 50 years. If someone gets to 50 years, they'll be considered a very, very old person. Marriage will be arranged simply by verbal agreement. We can see that now in the other cultures. It's only in the Vedic culture where we actually do a sacrifice, where we invite Krishna to come in the form of the fire. But in all other religions, it's simply a verbal agreement. And sometimes it's not even a proper ceremony. People just agree that they'll live together and consider that as a marriage. And ultimately what will happen as Kali Yuga progresses, because as Srila Prabhupada said, that we're only a few thousand years into Kali Yuga, but as it progresses, it says that the politicians, the kings, will become more and more corrupt. And the taxes will be so much that people can't afford to live in their homes anymore. People will go to the forest. They'll be struck by so many natural disasters because of the yagya stopping to satisfy all the devatas. And at that time, Lord Kalki will appear, as stated in this verse. He'll have a horse. He'll ride on a horse throughout the earth planet. This horse is called Devadatta. With a sword in his hand, he will destroy all the miscreants. Paritranaya saduna vinashaya cha duskritam. He'll destroy all the miscreants. And after killing all the miscreants, those people, those saintly people who are in the forest, will smell the chandan and the tulsi emanating from his lotus feet. And once they smell this divine smell, their heart will become purified. And then again, they will repopulate the world. And that will be Satya Yuga. Sukadev Goswami, in the 9th canto, he mentions two qualities that everyone in Kali Yuga will possess. He says, Kalo janmish naam naam dukha shokha tamo nudham anugraha bhaktanam supunyam vastadayo yashah. Dukha and shokha, these two things everyone will possess. Dukha is sadness and shokha is lamentation. So it seems like this age is a very difficult age to be in. It seems like we are very unfortunate to be in this age. But this verse explains why we're actually the most fortunate. It says that to show causeless mercy, Krishna descended just before Kali Yuga, just so that we can remember his pastimes. And by remembering his pastimes, this dukkha and this shoka will go very far away. Kalo doshe nide rajan asti eko mahan guna kirtanya eva krishnasya mukta sanga param vrijet. This Kali Yuga may be an ocean of faults, Sukadeva Goswami is saying. It may be an ocean of faults. But there's one great thing about this age. Simply by performing the kirtan of Krishna, one can go back to Godhead. The process is so easy. And who made this process easy? Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his associates. And today is the appearance of one of his very dear associates, Srivas Thakur. So why are the Pancha Tattva so important? Se pancha tattva mili priti asya pura prema bhagane mudre udigdar pancha mili lute prema kare asvadhana yata yata piya trishna bhade anukshena. When Krishna came, he was the embodiment of love and devotion. But it's explained in this verse that love was sealed. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his associates, they broke open the seal of the storehouse of love, of transcendental taste for Krishna. And it said that the more they tasted it, the more their thirst grew. And I was listening to a class by His Grace Gauri Prabhu, he gave here last week. And he's speaking the importance of taste, Rupa Goswami. He speaks so much about taste, that we should all be tasting something when we're doing devotional service, when we're chanting the holy names, when we're in kirtan, when we're doing some service. And if we do not have that taste, that means that something is going wrong. And we should analyze why we are not having that taste. So the Pancha Tattva, they're so important because they made this process so easy. And Srivas Thakur, it's explained, Srivas Adiyata Koti Koti Bhakta Gana Shuddha Bhakta Tattva Madhe Tansabhira Gana. Now of all the Vaishnavas, of all the pure devotees, Srivas Thakur is the leader. And who was Srivas Thakur? Srivas Thakur explained, Srivas Pandito Dhiman Yapura Narada Munihi Purvata Kyo Muni Bharvo Ya Asin Narada Priyaha. Srivas Thakur had previously been Narad Muni. So he is the incarnation of Narad Muni. And it's explained he was one of four brothers. So he had three other brothers, Sri Ram, Sri Pati, and Sri Nidhi. And previously they lived in a place called Sri Hatta. And then they moved to the banks of the Ganges. When they moved to the banks of the Ganges, they started to go to the house of Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya every day used to run discourses on Srimad Bhagavatam. And they used to be chanting of the holy names. There Srivas Thakur, who was married to Malini Mataji, he became friends with Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata. And they became very close friends. And it's explained that due to Srivas Thakur's devotion, he understood that Krishna was about to appear in the house of Jagannath Mishra. So they became great friends, and they gave much advice on parenting when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the womb of Sachi Mata. And then Gauranga Mahaprabhu was born. And at that time, it's explained that even though Gauranga Mahaprabhu showed so many different exhibitions that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Jagannath Mishra, Srivas Thakur were covered. They didn't realize that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavita. That sometimes I cover myself. And why does Krishna do that? So that there's no awe and reverence. You know, the relationship was of parents and a child. And if you know your child is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's very difficult to be a parent to such a child. So just like he covered Mother Yashoda, in the same way he covered Srivas Thakur. So they raised him just like his son. And as Nimai began to get slightly older, he became a scholar. And he would debate people. And he could convince someone that night was day and day was night. And when they were fully convinced of this, he could convince them again that day was day and night was night. That was his power. So Srivas Thakur, he saw this. And he thought, maybe Nimai is getting a little bit proud of his education. Maybe he's getting a little bit proud of his knowledge. So he asked this question. Why do people study? And he said, Srivas Thakur asked the question, but he also gave the answer. He said that real study equates to devotion to Krishna. If you've actually learned something, then begin your devotion of Krishna. Otherwise, all other studies simply a waste of time. And when Nimai heard this, he laughed. And he said, by your mercy, Srivas, it will come to be. So Mahaprabhu, he left and he went to Gaya and he took initiation from Ishwarpuri. And when he came back, one day he entered into the house of Srivas Thakur in great ecstasy. And he said, Srivas, who do you worship? Who do you meditate on? Now with your own two eyes, see that person standing in front of you. And Gauranga Prabhu walked to the altar and he sat on the simhasana of Vishnu. And when he sat on the simhasana of Vishnu, he displayed his four-handed form. Srivas Thakur immediately paid obeisances. Mahaprabhu said, due to your Sankirtan and Advaita Acharya's devotion, I have come from Vaikuntha. Now you may chant my glories. Srivas Thakur said, today my birth, my activities, everything has become successful. And Lord Chaitanya was so merciful that he revealed this form to all the family members of Srivas Thakur. And he called out Srivas Thakur's niece, Narayani. And he said, Narayani, chant the names of Krishna with tears in your eyes. And Narayani instantly said, Hare Krishna! And she started crying. And it's explained that she cried so much that all her clothes were wet. And there was a puddle of water where she was standing. When the family members saw this, they all started crying for Krishna. And it was such a wonderful, ecstatic atmosphere. And at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, who is this lady that brings water for bathing every day? And Srivas Thakur said, that is Dukhi. And Dukhi means someone who's sad. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, from today, she'll be known as Sukhi, one who's always happy. Because when we do devotional service, no one can be Dukhi. Because it's a very happy process. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching that whenever we do some service, whenever we're doing some devotional practice, we do it in a very happy way. One day, Srivas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu actually started to reside at the house of Srivas Thakur. And Malini Mataji treated him like his own son, like her own son. And every day in the courtyard of Srivas Thakur's house, the congregation chanting of the Harinam Sankirtan was going on. And one day, the chanting was going on. Gaur Hari was dancing, Nityananda was dancing, all the devotees were chanting very enthusiastically, very ecstatically. But Srivas Thakur heard some crying, some lamentation from inside the home. So he quickly went to check. And there he saw all the ladies of the house crying in great lamentation. And he saw that his son had just left this world. He became very grave. And he told his family members, please don't cry. This is actually very auspicious that our son has left this world hearing the names of Sri Hari. What fortune! And then he went on to say that don't cry. If you wish, you can cry later. But if your crying disturbs the Sankirtan, the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone's heart will break. And at that point, I will go to the Ganges and jump in and commit suicide. Srivas Thakur continued that everything is happening by the will of Krishna. Not even a blade of grass moves. Whatever auspicious is happening is because of Krishna. And we should always accept His will. Because if we do not accept His will, then we will only lament. And in this way, he pacified the ladies. And they all went back out and joined the Harinam Sankirtan. Continued to the middle of the night. And as the devotees were all leaving to go to their respective homes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said to Srivas, "Today I feel like something very sad has happened in this home." Srivas replied, No, my dear Lord. If you are here, how can anything sad happen? It was actually a very nice kirtan." And he said, "No, Srivas Thakur, today I didn't feel the ecstasy I normally feel. Please tell me what happened. I feel like something inauspicious has happened." Srivas said, "You are the personification of all auspiciousness. Wherever you are, that place is auspicious. That place is a holy place. That place is a place of worship. How can anything inauspicious happen?" But as he was explaining this, some of the devotees, they told Gauranga Mahaprabhu what had happened. Gauranga Prabhu said, "How could you not tell me? That such a thing has happened in your home. Srivas Thakur, tell me, why didn't you tell? Say anything." And Srivas Thakur, he said, "I couldn't tolerate disturbing your dancing. There's no sorrow. If we all desire to die while seeing your lotus face and hearing the Harinam Sankirtan, what greater benediction is there?" And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with tears in his eyes, he looked at Srivas Thakur and he said, "How can I give up the company personalities like you? Due to your love, you didn't even lament for your own son." At that point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went into the house. And the dead body of Srivas Thakur's son was there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just touched that body. And he began to speak. The son of Srivas Thakur, who has previously left his body, began to speak. He said, "My Lord, I have taken birth and died repeatedly. So many times I have taken birth and so many times I have died. But this time I was actually so happy. Because at the time of death, I was hearing your kirtan and I was seeing your beautiful face." And with this, he left his body. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned to Srivas Thakur and said to him, "O Srivas, please do not lament." He turned to all the family members and he said, "Please do not lament. From today, me and Lord Nityananda are your sons." Srivas Thakur ki jai. So, just to summarize, so we spoke about the importance of blessings, receiving and giving. We spoke about the problems with the objects of the senses, things like wealth, things like power, things like fame, how these actually, rather than give us satisfaction, they actually give us many problems. We had some things about the age of Kali Yuga and why it is the age of darkness. But the great benediction of Kali Yuga and the fortune that we all have. And then we also had a few pastimes of Srivas Thakur. So I would like to thank you all very much for your kind attention, for all of your blessings, and wish you all a very, very auspicious Shivas Thakur appearance day. Hare Krishna.